especially in the church world, you cannot get caught up in sequence. Because if the Spirit of the Lord brings liberty, he'll break out of that sequence. And when he wants to, you have to be ready. And so one of the things I believe that God's doing in the world today is breaking himself out of the box that the church has put him in so that he can actually move and do something that only he can do. Because I believe that you can get healed in the middle of a service without anybody praying for you. So we can lay hands on the sick and the Bible says they'll recover. But I want you to think about where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And where two or three are gathered, the Bible says there he is. So things can happen during worship. They can happen at any point of the service. That's why you need to be ready. That's why you have to have a keen ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying and for your heart just to be open. Because at any given moment, God can move. Any given moment. It doesn't matter how you think the worship set went. At any given moment. And so a couple of things before we get started. We are on Sabbath, July 3rd to the 9th. That means we are off that week. There's no service. There's no first Wednesday. We take it off because we just want to rest and just get refreshed. Not only in that, but just honor Jesus for purchasing our independence. Okay, we are a free nation. Okay, we are a free nation. And so we believe that he died to give us freedom and that it's okay. We're taking the day off. And we've done this over the last 4 or 5 years, and guess what? God still blesses us. Because it's not about church attendance. So enjoy your week off. There'll be church at home. You'll be able to see it online. But we'll resume back on the 10th. And on the 10th, we actually have a TCC Kids Family Day at North Shore Aquatic Complex. You got kids. We're going swimming. Just come on out. We're going to have a good time. And details are on our website. They're on our app. You can ask Sean and Ariel, and it'll just be a fun day. So I do want to get moving in today because I believe the Spirit of God wants to do something. We're in a very pivotal time as a nation, Obviously, there are things that have come out recently on Roe v. Wade being overturned. I'm not here to talk about that today, but I'm here to say that God is moving. He is moving. And so you need to understand that when God is moving, you need to be ready for that. Because when he moves, he needs people in position for the outcome of that move. Because there will be people who need answers and they want answers. And so God has positioned each one of you strategically in your places of business and influence in order to speak truth in the midst of what's happening right now. You know, God can move in chaos. He can move in chaos. And so he uses the things of this world in order to get people's attention. And I believe people's attention, he's got their attention right now. He's got it. And he's going to use you to speak into that. And so you need to be ready and poised for what that looks for you. That's why one of the reasons why we're going through a series this summer on emotionally healthy spirituality on Wednesday night is to help you start to dig up some of the stuff in your life that's still stuck there, because it might still be stuck and it could be the very thing that's holding you back from experiencing the fullness that God wants for you, and so that you can continue to walk in what he has for you. Because the reality of this, a lot of people are going to die not walking in the promised land. They're not. It doesn't mean that the land is not there. It's just they just never did the work, or they never trusted God to help defeat their enemies so that they can actually walk into their promised land, walk into it. There's been too much that has gone on in my life, and I know the lives of many people in here, for us to miss out on that. Because God specifically has a design for you, and that design, and he wants you actually to fulfill that design. You know that, right? He wants you actually to fulfill that purpose. And so the reason why we do things the way we do here is because we believe God is doing something very different in the earth, and he wants to do something different in his church. And so if it's not church as usual, it's probably God's idea. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 14. King Saul is in position. God has raised him up for this time. We know that he's now king and he's going to reign over Israel for 42 years. But he is on a descent. We know from previous chapters that because what was happening with the Israelite army and they were coming against the Philistines, that he got scared because his men were starting to flee, and he decided that he was going to offer a sacrifice that he was not authorized to do. Samuel said, "Wait for me." And because he didn't wait and is disobedient, God said, "I'm taking away the throne from you." How be it that God would be that efficient with you? That if he dealt with you on that level, that after the one thing that he told you to do, that if you didn't do it, God said, "Okay, you're not walking in to your promised land." I want you just to stop and think about the grace of God in your life right now. and how many times you said no, or how many times you fell short, but he said, all right, I'm still going to allow you to walk with me. But Saul is now on a downward trend. The Lord already told him, you're not going to be king forever. I've already raised up somebody. And we're going to take a look at this chapter and begin to see how emotionally unhealthy he begins to get, because that's the series we're in. We're emotionally unhealthy because of his inability to recognize his place with God. Because if you can't recognize your place with God and who you are in God, not only would it create room for insecurity, but it would allow other things to crowd in and influence you, when really the only influencer you should have is not the one on YouTube. It's God. It's God. Especially when you're talking about being a king and you're supposed to rule and reign. And so in chapter 1, 1 Samuel 14, one day, Jonathan, and he's an important part of this story, said to his armor bearer, come on, let's go over to where the Philistines have their outposts. But Jonathan did not tell his father what he was doing. I wouldn't either. And meanwhile, Saul and his 600 men were camped on the outskirts of Gibeah around the pomegranate tree at Migron. Among Saul's men was Ahijah the priest, who was wearing the ephod, the priestly vest. Ahijah was the son of Ichabod's brother, Ahitub, son of Phinehas, son of Eli, the priest of the Lord who had served at Shiloh. No one realized that Jonathan had left the Israelite camp. To reach the Philistine outpost, Jonathan had to go down between two rocky cliffs that were called Bozez and Senna. And the cliff on the north was in front of Michmash, and the one on the south was in front of Geba. Let's go across to the outpost of those pagans, Jonathan said to his armor bearer. Perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle, whether he has many warriors or only a few. Do what you think is best, the armor bearer replied. I'm with you completely, whatever you decide. All right then, Jonathan told him, we will cross over and let them see us. I want you to take a picture of what's happening here. If they say to us, stay where you are or we'll kill you, then we will stop and not go up to them. But if they say, come on up and fight, then we'll go up. That will be the Lord's sign that he will help us defeat them. When the Philistines saw them coming, they shouted, look, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes. Then the men from the outpost shouted to Jonathan, come on up here and we'll teach you a lesson. Come on, climb up right behind me, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, for the Lord will help us defeat them. So they climbed up using both hands and feet, and the Philistines fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer, killed those who came behind them. And they killed some 20 men in all, and their bodies were scattered all over about a half an acre. Saul is sitting under a pomegranate tree waiting for something to happen, because at this time all his men had crawled and they had escaped. Some, when you read into a little bit further, had escaped even to the Philistine army because they were afraid about what was happening and what was going on. Jonathan had a different attitude about it. Jonathan said, maybe we could do something about this and not wait here to see what's going to happen. And I think that's part of the problem in the body, is that we have a lot of people waiting, and they're waiting on the outskirts for something to happen. People have left them. Things have not worked out. They're walking in compromise, and they're just chilling and waiting for something to happen. But Jonathan decides, hey, listen, we can't wait here any longer. Are you with me? What I'm about to do, it's gonna take some courage, but I'm about to go start a fight, and I want to know if you're with me. We're not talking about him going against 5 people, 10 people. We're talking about him going against a Philistine army that had now progressed and taken control of the area. So he decides that, listen, the only one I got with me is my armor bearer. So listen, what do you think? You think we're good? I'm good. We'll go. I want you to picture the two guys going up out of a cave, trying to go against these people and incite a fight. Because the first thing you have to do anytime you want to make progress, especially over your enemies, is you have to come out of hiding. You got to come out of hiding. You cannot stay hidden. You cannot stay down. You cannot wait for something to happen and hope that it passes over. Your enemies love the fact when you stay hidden. If you will just stay stuck behind that hurt, you're no longer a threat. If you will stay feeling sorry for yourself, the enemy won't bother you. But if you ever get to a point where you say, I cannot live like this anymore, I'm tired of it, and you decide to make a change, that's when the enemy takes notice. And I would propose to you this way, God is waiting for you to do something about it. When is the last time you called out to the enemy and called him out and said, I'm coming for you? Rather than wait for your Monday routine when you wake up and says, you know, this week's going to be the same as it was last week. You know that, right, Don? Rather than wake it up and call him out and say, hey, listen, I just want to let you know right now, this is what this week's going to look like. I know you're going to come after me with everything you got. And I know you're going to work my emotions and you're going to come against my insecurities. But I'm telling you right now, I'm coming after you. And if you come after me, I'm coming after you with the Spirit of God. And we're going to go to work. We're going to go to work this week. And if you decide to come out of hiding and play, God will meet you. But if you stay down, he's not coming. And I understand this philosophy about God is near to the brokenhearted and the crushed. I'm all for that. But God is waiting for his people to turn their eyes to him and say, listen, you with me? Can we do this? Let's do it. Because that's what God responds to. He responds to faith. Faith, not fear. Faith. And so if you're waiting on God to do something, God said, I would love for you to start the climb. I would love for you to do that. I've done everything I can by my death on the cross, and I'm providing grace for you. But I need you to be part of this, and I want you actually to step out and do it yourself. And I would propose to you today that some of you will start to see breakthrough if you start calling out your own enemies. Your finances are not where they need to be. Start calling it out. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that there's going to be promotion. I thank you, God, because you're faithful. I thank you, Lord, because I've sown seed. I thank you, God, that I've used my gifts, my talents, and my resources, and I know you are faithful. I thank you that as I give, you're going to come and that you're going to meet me where I'm at. And guess what? God will begin to do that because in response to your faith, things are happening. But if you say, Lord, I'm going to hold back because I've never seen you come through and I'm tight, God will say, you hold back. Guess what? I'm holding back. And that's not just in your finances. So let's not get twisted when it's all about money. You hold back in the way you love me, we're going to have some problems. He said, love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You have heart me, we're going to have some issues. Because I want all of you. I want all of you. Jonathan was all in. All in. And when you read further on down in the story, the problem with what was happening here is that the Israelites were about to go back into battle with the Philistines. And they were waiting. You know how it is. Seasonally, things happen. You might have won a battle here, but you know that people go back and regroup, and you know that they're about to go back in battle, and that's how it is. And so they're waiting here. But Saul made a ridiculous edict. He said, this is what's going to happen. I don't want anybody to eat anything today before evening, so that I have a chance to basically defeat all my enemies. Basically, he said, don't eat until we win. Read it. So Jonathan, after this little victory, goes in and he begins to see that there's honeycomb on the ground. And so what he does, he takes his spear and he dips it in the honeycomb and he eats it. And the Bible says that he brightened, meaning that he was refreshed and his strength came to him. But somebody who knew about the edict looked and said, do you know what your father said this morning about the edict? And Jonathan turned around and said, my father has made trouble for Israel. If he would have allowed them to eat, imagine how big our victory could have been. But because physically he made a ridiculous edict, he held back the victory that we could have had because he was emotionally not healthy and in a good place, he made a decision that compromised not just him, but the people that he was around. Do you know that's what happens with you? When you are not in a good place emotionally, you make edicts, you make decisions that compromise and that cause everyone else to be in an issue or harm way because you're not where you need to be. That's what happens when you are not in a right place. And so we talk about that a lot because if you're leaning wrong, all of a sudden, mentally, you're not where you need to be. And you say stupid stuff like, but I love them. That's why I did it. Nobody's getting victory today. Nobody's getting their needs met because I'm the king and I want to avenge my enemies, not realizing that you can't beat all of them. You need the team. You need the people around you who are going to be able to go and do what God has called them to do. Also, Saul. Even further down in the story, God responds to Jonathan's faith, and the Bible said there was an earthquake. And all of a sudden, the Philistines started killing each other. All because of one man. Said, I'm not staying here. I know what my dad said, but I'm not staying here. Generational. I'm not staying there. He might have issues, but that's not going to be me. I'm coming out of this hole, and perhaps God will give us the victory because he doesn't need many. What faith that it took. So an earthquake happens, and all of a sudden they start killing each other, and Saul takes notice. He's like, we got to go. Of course. We got to go now. They're killing each other. Why? Because they're defenseless now. It's easier when there's infighting because now there's no resistance. So now let's go. And so, of course, that day, they drive them back and they gain a victory. But Saul goes even further into his depravity and say, hey, listen, we've got some issues going on here, but there's obviously some problems. And so they trail it back to the fact that Jonathan took some honeycomb when he was not supposed to take it. And they cast lots. And all of a sudden, the blame came to Saul and Jonathan. And it went a little bit further. And it actually fell on Jonathan because Saul said, hey, what'd you do today? And Jonathan said, hey, listen, I took some honey because I was hungry. And he told him, surely you have to die. Surely you must die. And the men around them said, he's not going anywhere. Because of his faith, not one hair on his head is going to be touched because of what he did today. He gave us a great victory. And the Bible says that his men helped save his life that day. But I want you to imagine where he was and the place of immaturity that Saul's in. His son helps give him a victory. But even the gnat says, but still, you broke my edict. You gotta die. All because I took honey, Dad. This wasn't Saul's issue when it came to fighting. Jonathan had no problem fighting. The focal point of the story is the father and the son. And if you look out on a deeper level, the son says, I will not do what you've done. I will start something new. Even if it's just me and my armor bearer, we're going to come against these men, and perhaps God will do something. What about you? I don't care what you did, Dad. It's not about you. Mom, I don't care what you did. I know God's going to give me victory. Perhaps he will, because it doesn't need much. And I'm going to start something new, and I'm going to go after my enemy, and I'm going to go after lack. I'm going to beat it, because I know who God is. I'm going to go after, I'm going to do something new in my line because I know who God is. You got to be emotionally healthy enough to be able to realize what is tying you back to your past and what God is asking you to break so that you can actually get victory. Saul was waiting. Jonathan said, we're not doing that no more. You got to be ready. You're tied somewhere and you're tied because of something generationally. You don't think so? Do some work investigatively. This story, when I was reading it, I said, oh my God, Lord, it's generational. Jonathan is raised up as a focal point of this story. And you have a comparison between how I want my life to be and compared to how I don't want it to be. Because God will always meet you where you're at. Always. Always. I don't care if it's in a cave. I don't care if you're hiding. You make a decision that you're coming out. God said, I got you. I got you. Remember, he met David in the cave. When David was, he said, I got you. And God used that to work out in his life and build in him character. And we know what happened with the story of David, and we'll get into that over the next several weeks as God began to raise him up. But it wasn't because David didn't go through anything. It's because when David was going through everything, he realized that God was his strength. God was his strong tower. God was his source. Saul forgot that. Jonathan did not. So where are you at when you look at these two men? Are you more like Jonathan or are you more like Saul? And I know it's not popular, especially in Christianity, when we talk about waiting on God, because we have this misinterpretation about waiting on God, that if I lift my hands, God's just going to come, and all of a sudden God's just going to do it for me, and God's just going to deliver me. And I've got news for you. There are certain things that God is asking you to do, and it might be a raised hands in faith, absolutely. But it's in response to faith that God moves. God is waiting on you. You are not waiting on him. Again, God is waiting on you. You are not waiting on him. God's ready. What he's looking for is a response in faith. I know I'm not right physically, but guess what? I'm going to get up and I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to start taking steps to take my life back. Physically, I need to get in a better place. And that means I'm going to have to work at it. God doesn't just magically give me a body that's better. I got to work at it. I know I'm not in the right place emotionally, but I know, Lord, that as I take some steps to allow you to cut and to go where you need to do and what you need to be and how you need to be in my life, I know that I'm going to see progress, Malia, because I'm going to sit in it and allow God to do what he needs to do, because I'm going to allow him to do the work and I'm going to work with him. God wants some cooperation. I've got issues and I'm tired. I'm codependent. God said, let's break it, but let me in. I'm afraid of people. Why? Jonathan stays stuck. Like his dad, they don't win victory that day. Notice the response by God, because Jonathan climbed out of a hole. He sent an earthquake and brought confusion on the enemy. What could God do with you if you just start climbing out? I'm not talking, he doesn't need much. He doesn't need much. Just a little bit. All of a sudden, God will break you into new levels. You'll start to feel joy as you lift your hands in the midst of depression. All of a sudden, you'll just start to feel peace in the midst of anxiety as you just recognize him for who he is, because he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. There's none like him. There will never be anyone like him. And as you begin to recognize him for who he is and put your faith in him, God begins to elevate you and you start to sing breakthrough. He doesn't need a lot. He just needs a willingness to climb out. Lord, I want to get out. I know you do. Come on with me. But you got to be willing to part with your old ways of doing things, how you look at the world, how you see things, and especially who you run with. Notice here, Jonathan was not running with his dad. He was running with his armor bearer. His armor bearer knew him. If you go, I'll go. There was a bond that was there. He didn't tell his daddy he was going. Sometimes daddy don't need to know. And I would propose to you on a deeper level that deep down inside that you are still worried about what your parents think. That, God forbid, if I get successful, what are they going to think about it? And you're concerned about their reaction because you didn't do it their way. Man, Lord. And for some of you, they're not even here anymore. And we don't think this is a thing, but it's a thing. It's a thing. because you were so imprinted by your family of origin and how they did things that anytime something different comes in and God tries to do something different on a different level, it's scared to death. It scares you to death because God, well, that's not how I saw it. I know. But this is how I see it, God said. And I want to give you victory. Thank you, Jesus, for breaking me free from stuff. Don't you think that God can elevate you in spite of what people say? Don't you think that God can give you breakthrough despite of what your closest friends might think about you? If I'm more concerned about what they think, I'll miss out on the freedom and the joy of walking in a real relationship with God, who died to bring me into freedom and actually bring me into my promised land. My promised land. Yeah, Lord, you have a promised land for me, of me. It doesn't matter who went before me, who didn't get theirs. One person responded to that. Why? Because most of the time you look back while you're going forward. And every time you do that, it stops your progress in the new. And that's your, I'm not talking about revisiting hurts. I'm not talking about that. God does that to bring healing. But I'm talking about every time you feel like, oh my God, I'm breaking into new territory. You feel good. All of a sudden you're like, are they coming? You're worried about, oh God, what are they going to say? I don't spend as much time anymore with them. What are they going to say? What happens if God takes me away somewhere else? I'm not going to be away. And all of a sudden you're mine. It starts playing tricks on you and you can't move with God because you're more concerned about them moving. Oh my God. And we got to break that stuff. You got to break it, man. Because God wants to bless you and do something new in your life, but we cannot be concerned about that stuff. And if you are so adamant about opposing that theory, I want you to really look at what's happening right now with identity in the world. People are so messed up in the way they think. They want to change the way they feel and look because they don't have a true sense of who they are because of issues with their family. And it's a lie that's being perpetrated. And God said, I'm going to break it in Jesus' name. I want to break it. And guess who's going to use to break it?
Yeah.
But if you're still dealing with it, it's going to be difficult. Because it's hard really to talk about God when you haven't really experienced God. It's hard to. Man, God, he is so good. He's so faithful. And you only can go a certain level with it because you really haven't seen him do much in you. So a lot of the times God's trying to do some stuff in you so you can say, no, I'll tell you what God did in me. I'm proud of Jonathan. If he was here, I'd tell him, I'm proud of you, boy. I'm proud of you, man. You gave him a victory that day. It doesn't matter. I would give him a hug and say, let's do it. Where are we going? I'm proud of you. What are we doing next? What we got going on? Because God would rather you be a little bit crazy in the way you think than you just sit. That's the kind of God you serve, okay? He's not just a God on the cross. Not there anymore. I don't have a cross around me with Jesus on it. He's not there anymore. Okay, so he's ever lives to make intercession for me. And he looks down and say, listen, I'm just looking for some crazy, just do something. Believe me, just to do something. Why? Because fools do nothing. Nothing. I'd rather you get sweaty. I'd rather you have a little anxiety. I'd rather you have to rely on me. I'd rather you get hurt doing what you think I've asked you to do in faith. Then sit back and wonder whether or not it's going to happen. If it's going to happen, let's just get it out. Let's just get it out. That's why you ought to just change your mentality. And it's not about, I'm afraid of being hurt. You already been hurt. Okay. Just deal with that. Let's just keep going and do what we got to do. You're going to get hurt. Someone's going to hurt you. Okay. Let's get past all this. Let's get past all of it. If you're trying to figure out, is there another way? Is there another possible way for me to avoid pain? No, there's not. There's not. Look at the cross. Is there another possible way, Lord, for me not to have to exercise my faith? No, there's not. You're going to have to get out and do some things, even though it might require that you miss the mark sometimes. But God says, I'd rather you miss the mark than just stay and do nothing. Come on now. I'd rather you do something with your life and say, believe me that I'll do it. And then let me come through for you. Can we try that rather than us just sitting back and saying, well, we're just going to wait? It does nothing. It profits a man nothing for you to sit back and do nothing. All it does is it kills you. It kills you physically. It kills you emotionally. How many people are over, not in this room, how many people are overweight because of over the last few years? A lot. A lot. You're going to see it. How many people are psychologically have been affected because of the last few years? A lot. A lot. A lot. Why? Because you're meant to move. You're meant to exercise your faith. You're meant to branch out. God wants you to move physically. I want you emotionally. I want to build some stuff into you. You're meant to move, stretch out, break some stuff so I can reheal it, do some stuff, get out of your head, get out of what you box yourself in. And that requires that you continue to push past stuff in your life, not just sit. I'd rather you move and get hurt than do nothing. Because when you do nothing, you're already losing. Already. Do it. I don't know if I can do it. Do it. That's why we talk. What was so great about the story is that he had his armor bearer with him. The one guy that said, we can do it. Who do you have with you? That's why we talk about community. I don't know if I can do it. But you know what? She thinks I can. You know what? I can then. Let's try it. And all of a sudden, you both try it. What could be the worst that happens? I'll take care of them this way, and then if they come up there on my back, you take care of them that way. And I'll do this, and we'll do this, and we'll start just dancing back and forth, and we'll start doing, and let's just, on every, it doesn't matter. Let's see what God does. Let's see what God does with Marie and Sue. Let's see. Let's see. Rather than being like, well, it's just not going to happen. Who do you got? You need someone to say, listen, I'll die with you. I'll try it. Let's just believe God that we'll start a church and do something crazy. Let's just go ahead and do it. And rather than sit back and say, well, I wonder how much more uncomfortable does God have to make you before you actually do something? Get out. Try it. Because I know right now God's pushing and pricking and kicking. I've already delivered you from that. Get out. I've already got you. Go ahead and get out. I've already got your healing. Just walk in it. I'm so thankful that God has done a work in my life that has separated me from the old me. That I could be free to fail, and I could be free to try and not make it, but at least make progress. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that he made me the way he made me, and I'm just thanking God for him because of what he's done, because any other way, I wouldn't be able to live myself. Because of what I see, I'm like, God, even in the midst of people saying, I don't even like that. I don't even know you. I don't even know who you are. Thank God. Thank God he made me the way. Thank God he made me the way I am, because at least I try. At least I went out, I'm doing something, and I'm trying to do it, and it's hard, and it sucks sometimes. But guess what? At least I'm doing it because I know the value of it, and I know who's got me. I knew what he did and what he's doing, and that's me. That's my walk. You got your own. But that's me. But guess what? When I call on someone, and I need someone in the fight, I can call. I know who I'm going to call on. There are some people who have proven themselves. I'm calling them. Craig, thank you. There are certain people in my life I can look back and say, listen, I called them, they're coming. Thank you, Jesus. Who do you got? Who do you got? We got to go. We got to kill some Philistines. All right. What lies ahead of you? The possibilities are endless. But you got to believe that if the sky is the limit, that God's going to help you get there. I want you this week, I want you to rehearse what God has already done in your life. Let that be the fuel that kickstarts you into the next place. Next place. And I'm talking about getting in that, shaking yourself out of some stuff like complacency and apathy. Because I think what happens every once in a while is that this dullness comes in. Right, Maria? And it's like just we get to this law. It's like, okay, like now what? Keep walking. Lord, I know I've made progress in this area, but okay, keep walking. Keep working out physically. Keep working. Every time that thought comes in about who you were, keep resisting it. Keep resisting it. Keep knowing that you know the work I did, and you just keep saying yes to me and no to that thing. And as I'm doing it, I'm expanding some stuff in you. I feel that I'm doing some stuff in you, and I got some great stuff for you. And I'm excited. God said, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you. And I know, and I'm excited. You're starting to feel excited. We got this thing going on. You're excited. I'm excited. And so all of a sudden things begin to happen, and all of a sudden your faith takes on a different trajectory, because you know that God's actually for me, and God gives you some little sneak peeks, and you're like, okay, let's keep going. Just keep working at it. I don't keep saying no. Keep saying yeah. Allow me to cut. Just allow me to get in there. Just love it. Love it. Allow me to get in. Lord, I want to make some progress. I know financially you want to continue to make progress. Just keep doing it. Keep giving like I tell you to give. Just give to me first. And all of a sudden I'm working it all out. I'm working. It's all falling into place. Look, I'm giving you victory. Why? Because I love you. Come on. God will just do something for you just to let you know that he loves you. I love you. And it's not, I'm just waiting on God. No, just come. Climb out of the hole. Come. Time for people to start climbing out of depression. Just climbing out of it. Just come on. Where's he at? I don't know if he's here. I don't see him, but I can't see. So, the lights. Sometimes God will speak to you and say, enough of that self-loathing. Enough of it. You get to a point in your life when God says, okay, that's enough. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. It doesn't get fixed by you doing nothing. I love you, but it does not get fixed if you stay that way. Get up, start praising me, put some worship on, do the next best thing, get out your house. Because the enemy would like nothing more for you just to sit there. I'm telling you what, if you're not running somewhere, you're not going anywhere. If you are not, you are in a race right now. You're in a race, the Bible says. You're not running somewhere. You're not going anywhere. All you're doing is just in place. But you're not going anywhere. You got people just going right by you. God said, that should be you. It should be you. Around the track. Letting go of all those things that entangle you. That should be you. You should be running. Look, there goes Debbie. My God, Debbie's laughing at me again. Yep, there goes Debbie. Why? Because Debbie knows. She knows who she is. She knows what I've done. She doesn't let her past stop her. All of a sudden, Debbie's laughing at me. Don't you get upset that Debbie's beating you? Isn't something inside of you says, I want to beat Debbie. Why do I have to stay here? Debbie decided to climb out of the hole. Can I? Yes. Get out. Start running. Lord, I can't. I can't run. I've got no endurance. I'll help you. If you wait upon me, I'll renew your strength. I'll help you mount up. But you got to get out. You got to hope in me. You got to know that I'm good. You got to know that I'm doing something. Run. Run. Lord, you can run. And as you run, guess what? I'll start to heal and break stuff off you. But you got to run with me. There's got to be something inside of you that says, if Debbie can do it, I'm going to get to the end of my life and I'm going to miss out all because I couldn't climb out of my own way. You need to be around people who are motivating you to push and to keep going. Not to go backwards and decide how you want to reprioritize life and the human anatomy. Okay? You need people who are going to push you forward to hold on to truth and not be so intellectual that they're actually missing out on progress. Let's be about those people. Let's get around people who are like, yeah, listen, I know the world's having a hard time right now and I know it's difficult, but listen, I tell you what, God's good. Let's consider how we can push one another on to good works. Let's consider this. All right, how can we do this? I'm really struggling physically. All right, let's get you on to work. Get in the gym. Okay, let's emotionally, I just suck. Get in a group that's going to help you start to learn how to deal with your emotions. I just feel like God wants to break some stuff. Well, let's get in a place where he can actually break it. And when he actually starts to break it, let him break it. And now tense up. Break it. When you feel the release, just cry it out. Don't Got to get back up because I don't want to show any emotion. You're losing. God wants to move your emotions. He wants to move. I don't know what else to say. He wants to do it. Well, we get to the wall and we're like, we're here. The wall's here. Lord's like, just knock on it. Keep praising me. Keep doing what I've called you to do. But Lord, the wall's too big. Just do something. Put your head on it. For God's sake, just do something. I want you to actually run through it. I want you to be able to leap over it. But I got it. Just when you're here, allow me to take you through it. I know it's hard and difficulty, but let's do it together. Lord, I'm out of just a breaking point. I know. Just break. Because that is the thing that pushes you on. Because he wants to do the work of the emotion aspect of it. Because a lot of the times the emotional aspect of it frees you mentally. Because your emotions are tied into the way you think about it. And you're bound up there, and God said, if I can release you, all of a sudden you'll start to experience freedom, but you gotta allow it to come out. I know it's uncomfortable, but get it out. And all of a sudden, as you do that, a piece of the wall falls. And all of a sudden now, you're starting to see stuff happen in your life. And when that wall's gone, you're like, oh my God, I can see over it. Let me help you with this. One of the ways that you start to see breakthrough and you start to see the walls fall is you start to connect with who you are by doing what you love. Connect with what you love to do. And as you do that, God has a way of coming in and supernaturally helping you break down walls because you are actually coming into an alignment with who you are and the way God has created you to be. When you sabotage yourself, you do a disservice to the joy that God wants to bring into your life. So get around those things that you enjoy and God will begin to break things off your life. If you are around misery all the time, guess what? It loves company, and you will continue to go deeper and entangle yourself in that web until it's very difficult to get out. Get around people who you can do life with and who you love doing life with, who can help push you. What do you love? It's simple. What do you love to do? And you'll begin to feel a refreshing from the Lord. And God will begin to break awesome stuff in your life because you're actually connecting with God's design for you. God's design for you, Sharon, is life and life to the full, not misery. I'm not talking about not having suffering. I'm not talking about walking through hard times. That's not biblical. But I'm talking about knowing that you can have life in the midst of it. God wants to break you through so you can go from life to more life. Freedom. What wall are you standing at right now? You're just staring at it. You're like, trying to get over it. Looking at it, it's tall. And God said, if you'll just start knocking on it. Start responding in faith. When you feel a spirit of heaviness, start to worship me. And I'll begin to break stuff off your life. It may not happen in 5 minutes, but you got to continue to worship me. Continue to set your eyes upon who I am and what I've done. Change your perspective. And when I take you to that emotional place and that dark place, just allow me to go with you through it and feel it and grieve it. And get it out so you can actually move on and actually you can experience joy again because I'm taking you through because I love you because that is still in you. It's still stuck. Every time we try, and you know it in your head, every time we try to go, here it comes. And I have it there so you can actually go through it. I'm not taking it away until you grieve it. I'm not taking it away until you allow me to crush that root inside of you. to keep bringing you back around and keep moving you closer to it. Because I want joy. Oh, my man. I'm telling you, if you allow God to do it, there'll be a new peace that'll come into your heart, and you'll begin to understand what it means not only to walk in freedom, but to feel the supernatural power of God operate in your life on another level like you have not seen before. But you got to be willing to do it. You got to be willing to do the hard things and go through it. I know it's hard. I know it's tough. Not everybody does it. But what about you? Remember Debbie. This week, let's all stand on our feet. God's too good to let you stay there. If they can get victory, you can get victory. Nothing compares to freedom. Nothing. Nothing. I don't care. No. I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care what anybody tries to, what lie they try to tell you. How, man, I really feel really excited about life when I'm bound. Unless you're some sadist and you like that kind of thing. But there's no one who said, I really love feeling bound. The people come to here, this place, America, because they are bound. There's something about freedom that's attractive, and the Lord knows that. The enemy knows that. That if you can ever just get past that one little funk, all of a sudden, things would brighten up, and then it becomes the joy of the Lord, your strength, and you're walking around. People, how you doing? People are getting healed. You're just walking in rooms. Things are happening because people are catching stuff that's in your life. They're catching stuff off. The stuff is happening in your life, and God has broken you free. And all of a sudden, because the Spirit of the Lord is in your life, and when you walk in places, things change. Oh, come on now. Don't be the people who just stop short. Go in. Go in. Even if you got to roll in. I'm tired. Just roll in. Because of what's waiting on the other side. And the enemy would love for you to stay stuck. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. God knows what's on the other side. Man, milk and honey. Amen. Milk and honey. Just, man, it is flowing with us. I tell you what, I can't even tell you how God is. There is stuff right now I'm eating. There's stuff in the Word that I'm seeing right now I have not seen before. Man, it's like just nourishment to my soul right now. Things are happening. I feel free. Nothing that the enemy is trying to do is working, because I know who's inside of me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That lie has been debunked. So now, because I've decided to go in, I'm winning. There's nothing like winning. Likes losing. Lord, for every person in this house, how many of you right now, you're up against a wall, hands in the air, you got a little wall in front of you, got some walls, yeah. Every person in the house, every wall that's in front of them, I thank you, God, that you've given the ability to see over that wall and to overcome it. And God, as people begin to climb, God, as they begin to knock, seek, ask, they're going to begin to see those walls begin to fall down and crumble. Thank you, Lord, that this week, every time they lift their hands in praise, they're going to come closer to victory. Every time this week that they do something that is counterintuitive to the way they feel, Lord, that you're going to build in them more level of faith and more of a strong foundation in you. Thank you, God, this week, as you take them through the wall emotionally, and God, as you let them grieve, and as you bring healing, I thank you that on the other side there is joy. There is joy, God, that you are going to bring them into a new promised land in their life, and they're going to begin to see fullness, fullness of joy. They're going to see it because they know what you've done, and they've seen you do it. Thank you this week. They're going to know you in a new way. Take them deeper, Lord, this week. This week. Thank you, God, for just stretching them out, giving them more capacity to hold. And that's what you're really doing. You're helping them heal so they can hold. Yes, hold the Spirit of God and the magnitude of what He wants to do. Thank you this week. Just strengthening relationships this week. Strengthen them. Lord, help people to cut ties with unhealthy this week. disrupt the pattern this week. Disrupt it. Thank you this week, God. Give them a marker to shoot for. Lord, that they're going to feel the excitement that you have for them. Lord, you're excited. You're more excited than they are. I thank you, God, that because you know on the other side what's there. What's there? I thank you, God, that daddy issues will not be a thing in your life. That will be broken in Jesus' name. And that you will know your Heavenly Father in a new way. And that what's happened in your past will not dictate your future. Because you decided to give your life over to Jesus. And as you guys get ready to bring this baby into the world, that this baby will know the unconditional love of a father. And that unconditional love will spread from generation to generation because you're starting a new line, you said. That the old line has gone. That the new is here. And as you allow him to do what he needs to do, God said that he will bring you into new levels of place that you've never been before. But if you hold on to the old, you will miss out on the goodness of God and what he wants to do in your life because God said, I have the best for you and the best is yet to come. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Give him the courage. Give him the courage to go deeper. Break ties. Yeah, just spend, give it a minute. Give it a minute. Every generational curse will be broken in this house.
Jesus' name.
In your people. Everything that has tied them to their past, Jesus. Tied them to unhealthy and addictive, is broken in this house. As they yield themselves to you, I thank you, God, that you're going to sever that tie and that you're going to move them into a new level, a new place with you. A new level, a new place. I don't care how good it was or it wasn't. But Lord, you're going to help them experience real life and real joy because in you we live and move and have our being.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.